I'm Ron Vignac. Again, for those who are new to this session, this is a second one this week. It's sort of in couched in between two. Tomorrow we'll be on more on poverty and more directly on some practical things. I'm a Lutheran pastor. I work in a community called Salishan. For those of you here, there's two Salishans. And the imaging, I would like you to keep in mind, or whatever comes to mind, about images, because we're fed images constantly. And they have values. And as I said, when I left Pacific Lutheran University, which is an image of a good university, if you were to leave as a pastor or a teacher, you're expected to move not downward, but where? Upward. That's the motion. That's the direction. We've been taught that early in life. The university teaches it. We'd probably teach it if you happen to be parents. We all learn something of that somewhere in our life. So intention, then, is... There's another reality, and just as today is the remembrance of Hiroshima on August 6th, traditionally that day in the church year, though it's no longer that, August 6th was also the remembrance of the transfiguration of our Lord. Both transformations transform reality for us, if we believe it, or what we don't believe about it will make a difference in our lives. So today's session is kind of one I have fun with, and it usually takes a whole week to do, so we only got 50 minutes. So we won't cover all three of what I call the gods of the 1990s, healthy, wealthy, and wise. We're not here to do bashing about those who try to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. In fact, are these not good things? Please answer either. Yeah, we need a little gusto out of us here. Yes, they are good, aren't they?
Yes.
Well, then, what's the problem? And maybe it's the problem Jesus faced in temptation. I grew up with that story, didn't you? Maybe that the devil tempted Jesus. Did the devil tempt Jesus with bad things? They were all good things. And not only were they good things, it wasn't the devil that led him to the wilderness. It was the Spirit. And in that story, I would, if it's heretical, I would say the devil was acting in God's partner. He tempted with Jesus with precisely the thing my poor people would love. If you're hungry after a few days without eating, or if you're a refugee, or you're a Kurd, or whatever, turn these stones into bread. Nothing wrong with that, especially if you have the power to do it. And what was the other temptation? Remember the three wilderness temptations.
Jump from the heights. Power.
Yeah, power, right? What was the implication?
You won't smash.
You won't smash and fall apart, and people will what?
Probably
worship you. And then how about the last one? We fought a war over it. Yeah, you look out at that vastness out there, as McDonald's does at the end of its commercial, and it says what? The world is yours if you just worship me. And McDonald's is not that blatant. It just says the world is yours if you buy my hamburgers. And they're serious. They are serious. This is no joke. This is yours in a sense. It's part of the hidden message of anything that we use the media to convince us. Well, today I would like to propose, it's nothing new, first of all, I'm presupposing that there is a God. I mean, to assume there are other gods, I'm presupposing there is a God. And that's what I would like us to keep in tension. The God who calls us and the other gods who call us also. And they will be said almost simultaneously sometimes to us. And I'd like to open with a psalm. There are many others you could use. It's Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. For the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness, why should the nation say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their gods, idols, are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not. They have ears, but they do not. They have noses, but they do not. They have hands, but they do not. They do not feel. They have feet, but they do not walk. They make no sound in their throats. Those who make them are like them. So are all those who trust in them. Ooh. O Israel, O Holden Village, O Edina, Eden Prairie, wherever you're from. Trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now, I hope you noticed right in front of me, I have my own personal idol. Did you see it? For those who can't see it. Now, not only is my car, it's really well known because it has my name on it. It says Ron. Now, before I came up here, I told my low-income community, our poor folks, as they're called in America, they asked me what I want for my birthday on July 8th. I said, I'd like a new Porsche. Obedient souls that they are, they sent me the Porsche in the mail. The doors work, everything, except I can't fit in it. We talked about the Porsche yesterday, right? Some of you are old enough to remember Janis Joplin's song. Remember her little ditty song? I loved it. Oh Lord, won't you give me a Mercedes Benz? All my friends have Porsches, but I must make amends. Whatever. Indeed. Okay, this is sort of a silly thing, but is it so silly? So we dream about these things. I will use the car as an image because it's such a powerful one. How many of us have cars here on the outside? How many of us have more than one car on the outside? Whoa. More than one? Interesting. But it certainly wouldn't be our God now. I know that. Now, it's okay. Idols. Anyway, idolatry then for you. What does idolatry mean, or idols? Maybe I can just get a few words out of you folks on that one. I won't ask you all to speak because I like to speak, and I just do the opposite of what you're supposed to do up here. Throw a lot of things at you so you can't get me until later. Just simply, what is if you happen to be a Lutheran, which you're not all, but what did Luther say your God was?
What you trust in.
Who you trust in or what you trust in, okay? And so I think that's sort of what I'll be getting at. When I look at the gods of the 90s. What do we trust for our health? Who do we trust?
Doctors.
Doctors, possibly?
Vitamins.
Exercise. There's nothing wrong with all that. But where does it become an idol? When is health, and I'll get to the Healthy, Wealthy, Wise commercial because it's important. But before, where do we get this notion that, why would it be an idol? Why would I call it idolatry today to be healthy? Because I know there's some doctors here, too.
You say if you have your health, you have everything.
Yeah, and you know, does the Bible say that? Ooh. Yes, it does. There's nothing more important in life than your health, says the Old Testament. How about money? Is the woman here who said there was nothing about joyful, enjoying your possessions and stuff? She was here yesterday at the Bible study. And I was just going, oh, there's tons of stuff about it. Nobody wants to read it because then us pastors would have, what do we do if they go out there and really do what the Bible says? Okay, I'll just read you. This is one I have. This is not proof texting. Don't use what I say as a proof text for anything. I'm taking it out of context, but not too far. In Ecclesiastes, how many have ever read the book of Ecclesiastes? What have you always preached or heard about the book of Ecclesiastes?
Wisdom.
Yeah, what kind of wisdom? It's all in vain. It's a puff of wind. Remember, and then if you happen to be just contemporary, there's a time for what? Living, a time for dying, time for da-da-da. The little song, little ditty we all learned. But how many of us take this as gospel? Feasts are made for laughter. Wine. Yes, folks, not grape juice. Wine gladdens life, and money meets every need. It's the gospel of Ron Vineyard for this afternoon. Money meets every need. Any deniers here? Look at us. Yes.
Yeah. Cicero himself said prosperity has no power over adversity.
Anyone else want to?
I think it's true now.
You think so?
Yeah, so ask Donald Trump.
Right. But we're not at Donald Trump's, are we? We're just people with two cars. See, it's easy to get at the Trumps. Boy, is it hard to get at you folks with two cars. How many TVs in your house? Just anybody. One?
Three.
How many?
Zero.
Three?
None.
None?
Three.
We could go on and on with this. Now, the one with none, where do you live? Besides Holden.
I live in
Edinburgh. Oh, dear. How are you going to keep track of the gods if you're not listening to TV? Oh, okay. You're encouraging. Let me just read you something from Russell Baker. He says, the fitness fad begins to give death a bad name. I love this when I had it. It was right after my bishop died, Cliff Lundy, which is not a funny thing. But he died at a meeting with his shoes on. Doing his work. And I remember we went up to Victoria, B.C. to do to the Episcopal Cathedral where we were having a pastor's conference. And I had the duty of going in and telling the dean of the cathedral that Bishop Lundy wouldn't be there because he died, you know. And the dean sat back like this and he said, oh, what a wonderful thing to be able to die with your shoes on. I looked at him, he should have felt sorry for us. And he didn't. He said, there's an idolatry of life going on. That we don't seem to be able to let go of life, and that we will do anything to protect and deny the inevitability of death, and he considers that idolatry of life. That's the flip side of the denial of death. But Russell Baker does it too. He says, as the years passed, it became increasingly obvious that if I died, it would be my own fault. This saddened me. When I die, I want people to commiserate. I want them to hear them say, what a pity, and it's a rotten shame that this sort of thing should happen to a fine fellow like you, even if you were a little corrupt. Americans once said that at that time of the grave. Lately, though, when it looks as if you may be in a mortal pickle, what you're more likely to hear is this. Tough buns, sweetheart. If you'd watched your cholesterol, exercise an hour a day, stuff down more fiber, supplement your calcium intake, and pop the daily aspirin, you wouldn't be spoiling everybody's day with that death. He knows the idol of health, the wealthy, and all the rest. But isn't that interesting? I think that's one whole issue. And we can't get into the health issues. They're so massive. They are so massive. I would talk to individually. I think we should all hopefully get into groups or talk to friends about these things. But if it is an idolatry, and I'm only proposing it may not be, but if it is, and then look at where we do spend our money and who do we put our trust in for our health. I would only challenge that in an age of high technology and obviously very health conscious.
Where's the line?
Excuse me?
Where's the line? That's the problem, isn't it?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question. Where's the line? If we leave it to the culture, though, where will the line be?
Ultimate.
There will be no line, finally, because it will have to... I look at most of what's going on here as a market, that we will continually market the behavioral change, people. Those of us who are too fat, you're too what? You go on a diet. But as Jim Lundy, a psychologist who was here, who worked with the doctor of a study, who's ahead of all obesity research, says 98% of all diets like that, when you are, fail. And yet we will continually funnel incredible amounts of money, because we trust whatever message can bring us that health, that loss of weight, whatever it is. Yeah, where's the line?
There's a standard.
Okay, and for the Christian faith, the point is, who sets the standards? For living, the values, and I would contend, and I'm a real media nut, so you have to excuse me, but that at least gives me focus, that's where I focus on. And so I have just up here Media and Values, it's a wonderful magazine, by the way, for a study of that, and you can look at it later. But the media has a way of convincing us what our gods are. And I'll now get into this ad is just incredible. It came in an Advertising Age magazine, which I get once in a while, just to see ahead of time what I'm going to read in Time magazine, in all the magazines, okay? And this is the ad, and I'd like to ask somebody to come up here and read the script, because for those who are of the faith, this would be a secular definition of what we say theologically is sin. Okay. Augustine would love this, Luther probably. Anybody want to read it? Now, the boldness, you have to be bold if you're going to be a god.
And,
yes.
Read
just the top.
Healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Yeah, even if you're near sight, far sight, you're not going to miss this one. Now, the objectification now is, it's real interesting for all the folks here, which object was chosen? Say it. Got to hear it. See, the thing is, the naming of it's very important out loud. It's a woman. And I used to take 40 magazines from a Safeway store because I knew the manager. He let me do it and bring it to a class. And I picked out 40 different women's magazines. There aren't 40 men's magazines, by the way, but 40 specifically targeted for women. Now, if somebody would read this script, would a woman do it?
I can't.
Addressed you to you.
I can't read it close.
Would somebody? Yeah. With as much emphasis as you can.
Today's women are turned into more than their bodies, so is the magazine they read, Self. Self readers are successful career women, used to making decisions, and Self's award-winning journalism gives them an edge. Timely articles on medical breakthroughs, in-depth fitness and nutrition coverage, new fashion and beauty ideas, advice on finance, careers, relationships. So, be wise and invest in this important group of consumers. Now, can you see yourself in Self?
Oh, before you go, did you hear it all? Where was the definition? First of all, how were women defined? There was a definition. The bottom line was, you're a consumer. And then what was the definition of today's woman?
Decision making,
career, and what aspects of one woman's life is Self magazine going to address?
Health.
What else?
Beauty.
What else?
Fashion.
Career.
Advice.
Relationships. Is there anything else in life? Now, the bottom line of the sin is that last zinger. Does somebody have to read it one more time? I'll have a male read it. The very last sentence. Yeah.
Now, can you see yourself in Self?
Do you remember the old teachings of sin? What was it? It was incurvitas. So you were incurved in on yourself, so how am I going to see you? Especially if you're always looking in on yourself, okay? You're looking in on your belly button or your drooping boobs or whatever the case is. You gotta look in on yourself. I got to check my pulse to see if I'm alive now, because I don't know that anymore. They got machines that tell me that. I got somebody prick my finger to make sure I didn't eat too many eggs or something, right? Because I can't be anymore without the assistance of all of that stuff. And certainly a woman wouldn't know how to dress, take care of her underarms, to say nothing of her vaginal, or whatever that part of the body's called these days. And then we take those products, and what do we do to them? What is the name of a sanitary napkin for women? New
freedom.
New freedom. You women didn't know. That's what gives you new freedom. What other objects? We take actual values that we would live and die for, and we put them on a product today. What's some of them? Just name them.
Soap is called Caress.
Caress. How much more intimate can you get than a bar of soap? Maybe the only one that touches you. And you want to have nice soap, not just that stuff that rubs you and irritates you. You want to smell nice.
Lava.
Yeah, like lava, right? I'll bet lava's not doing well on the bar. That's good. What other products? Let's name cereals.
Life
cereal. We have it up here. Oh, it's only they use the generic form, I think. What?
Total.
What else? Cigarettes. Name any product. What's a cigarette? They'll even give you free ones. There's a coupon in there. Merit.
Virginia Slims.
Virginia Slim means what? All the commercials for Slim cigarettes, they've gone on for a long time, always has what?
You've come a long way, babe.
Come a long way, babe. It's always a woman. Is it a chubby woman, a big fat lady? You know, like people from my community that weigh 400 pounds? You're not going to see them smoking Slims. But, you know, if the marketeers could catch up, and they try to do it with cigarettes for blacks, right? And there was a big opera. You know, how about for all the fat people? Let's make them feel good. We must be able to sell them something. Okay, aside from all my cynicism here, what I want to point out is they take the value, literally the word value, and they put it into a product. In the old days, we call this sexism, the objectification of women. Because if the woman is an object, now what can I do to that object? You can manipulate it. You can abuse it, shape it, reshape it to what you want.
Discount.
You ever realize what prostitution is so successful with executives? Think about it. Why would that be? What can you do with a prostitute that you can't do with your own wife? Or girlfriend, for the most part.
Control.
You tell them what you want. A prostitute asks you, well, what do you want? Okay? And then that gives you that sense of control. Is there power in all of these gods? Oh, man, it's power laden. I would just say underscoring all this is power and control. But for our sake today, here's the magazine that says you're more than body. You're more than bodies. This is one. I'm a magazine buff. I buy all these things. Now, interesting enough, if I showed you every commercial in here, what is almost all the commercials about? The body. How to obtain... Here's a community of believers. What are they doing? Oh, you can leave that. Yeah, they're smoking, and what's the message?
Are they selling and coffee touching?
Yeah. And it's just a homey message. It's intimate. And you can go on and on and on about these commercials. There's some wonderful stuff later we can talk about. The point is the message that gets across. Anybody want to read this one? I like this one. Well, it's healthy.
You don't have to move to make the adrenaline flow.
You know, put all your young girls into these outfits, right? Those spandex things that everything in your body shows through. Indeed. Anyway, self is supposed to not be more than your body, and yet everything is perfumes, how to smell, how to be attractive, on and on and on. Okay. I suggest this is... We need to pay attention to this. Is this, though, idolatry?
Yes.
Because what is it asking you to do as a woman right now? This is addressed to women, but it's actually for men, too.
To change, whatever.
To focus on yourself, and whatever you have is not right.
No.
Finally. Whatever yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, can be changed. And, of course, there'll be a product to go with it. And what you are is never good enough. And in theology, we call that the law. Okay? And the law, according to Luther, was condemning. And it shouldn't surprise us that many, many advertisements, they're changing because they're ahead of us, make you feel guilty. Remember all those commercials about women in the kitchen? And the husband's not happy with the cake or the food or the ring around the collar. He brings literally that smelly old ringy shirt. I was stuffed it right back in his mouth. He comes to his wife and says, look, wife, ring around the collar. And you're supposed to, oh my God, what am I done? Now that commercial won't work anymore. But they'll think of something else. And as soon as we get to the point where we think we're free again from all of this stuff, what is the, and people spend, we pay people to get in touch with the heart and your desires. I want you to name all the commercials about cars now that take literally the values of this country and transform them into an object called a car. A recent ad, what was Buick? It's the, Buick owns what?
Road.
Which road?
The American Boulevard.
Thank you. Not Kuwait, but...
American Boulevard.
Buick owns the American Road. I thought taxpayers owned it, because I always feel like when I drive across those poles, you know, why don't they fix those darn roads? Buick. But a Buick, how about, what does Pontiac do? You don't watch on TV. What does a Pontiac do?
Builds what?
Excitement. Whoa. Do you want excitement in your life? You just like to be a dull, boring you. You want excitement, so Buick will do it for you. What about Chevy? They caught it, right? And it's still beating. What is it?
Heartbeat.
It's the heartbeat of America. You know? Boy, for a 55 Chevy again. Back seat. You know, they don't know how to build cars, though, if they really believe that. I think if they were, I had an old 58 Studebaker when the Chevys were popular. And it was such a cheap car that if you pull the pin out of the seats, the two front seats just flop down. And when I was at Luther College, everyone wanted to use my car. Because I was naive, wasn't I? I didn't know what I was doing. Except I showed them how to pull the pin out. But anyway, the heartbeat of America. Now you get more sadistic. How about things that bring things to life?
GE
brings good things, not just things, but good things to life. Now they never say also that they manufacture nuclear warheads. Can you imagine trying to buy a washing machine after you realize that the same company that just manufactured the nuclear warhead for the Trident submarine, whatever it is, you want to stick it on, is the same company? We would have some problem with it, some of us. And for those of you who are clergy, realize now there's lawsuits against our pension fund. For those who fought for sanctions for apartheid, okay, to put the sanctions on, even though it may hurt, you know, whatever, that's the ethical decision. The church finally did it, so when I get my little pension thing every month or every 5 months, it gives me a choice how much of your pension fund you want to go to socially responsible or into the regular pension. Now there's lawsuits against, brought by pastors, against the national, isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Or they threatened to.
Yeah. Or they at least threatened to.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the level of when you attack or the gods. Okay, GE brings things to life. So you take an objective thing and, now what is so terrible about all of this, finally? What happens to our values and our relationships? It happened in the war on poverty. How many remember 1965? How many remember Robert McNamara? Who did Robert, he was the Secretary of State for John F. Kennedy. Who did he work for? Does anybody remember who John McNamara worked for?
World Bank.
Who did he work for before then? One of the biggest corporations in America. Ford. He took what he understood, and he did what he was trained to do. He took statistical data, quantitative data, all that analysis stuff, and applied it now to whom? To people in poverty. And so what happened, the shift in the mid-60s, away from human beings facing people who are poor or in need, you know, we used to look at people as people. Now they were statistics, and we had to quantify and measure and do all that kind of statistical data before we got a program out. And the shift is 1965, from people-centered to objects, and they now are the objects of our research. It's an interesting shift. And for the last years, up till the present, I would suggest that when we deal with that, that's why when I talk about poverty, I rarely talk about it statistically, because we think somehow that makes it either more or less real, instead of facing the fact that there's a person that we're talking about who has a face, and so forth, and emotions. And feeling, it's not one-dimensional, okay? And I would suggest that for the people of faith, the drawing line may be somewhere around there. How do we, where does the value get lost in the object? Where do we lose the humanity? I don't know if that's helpful or not, but Psalm 103, can I use this usually as Bible study, so I'm gonna just read a couple of things for healthy. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Keep hearing that word. And do not forget all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity? who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, he will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities, for as the heavens are high and the earth so great his steadfast love towards us, as far as east is from west, as far as he removes our transgressions from us, and so forth. For he knows that we are made, he remembers that we are dust. What is the soul? Ted was kidding about a lost soul he found. You remember, if you were at lunch? I like that. And he said he was going to give it to the pastor. What is the soul according to our faith? This is multicultural week, isn't it? I mean, when we think of it, what is soul food? What is soul? Man, that music has soul. Can you buy a soul? You can't? No, that leaves out the marketeers. Now, if it isn't, you can't buy it. What is it? It's something you are. It is your life. In fact, nephesh means self. If you would, it would be, just put it into English that we understand. It would say, bless the Lord, O myself, and all that is in me. That's what that means. Nephesh is that sense of self. Okay, not this self that needs to be continually changed. Okay, that would be the idolatry. Trusting this would give us what Psalm 102 says gives us. Okay. Okay. Anybody want to comment on healthy? What does this stuff do to us? Why do we buy it? Or why do we buy into this? This is for the poor people. Yeah, it gives you what you need or what you want. Somebody want to read this? There's about 2,000 of these. They just popped up in the last 2 years. There's 1,000 of these now. I don't know if you have them in your city. They're called Rent-A-Centers. Rent-A-Center. You know what it is? It's the poor person's, it's not even Kmart. It's the poor person's Nordstrom or Sears. Can you read this?
No.
The $16 thing.
Washer dryer repairs as low as $16.99 a week.
Did you hear it?
No.
No.
Washer dryer repairs as low as $16.99 a week.
Why did everybody go, a week? Why did you just do that? Oh, you're seeing, how many of you are educated again? Anybody went to college? Are you smart consumers? Yes, we are. We heard a week. When you address low-income people, they don't think a month advance or 5 years advance. They're surviving, folks, 1 month at a time, if that long. When you say a week, very intentionally, they didn't say a month. How much would it be a month? Yeah. Even poor people wouldn't buy it if you said that to them.
No.
Say a week. And what do they got? A hook. In language of music, they got you hooked. And now you draw in the hook. Now, I used to think these were sleazy places. Well, I walked into one in Tacoma just to see, because I see them in and out of South Shan. They come in, they go out. It's a wonderful outfit. What do? You walk in and they're young, with ties, clean, multiracial.
Good.
They offer coffee. Tea. He's happy. They offer you a seat to sit on, not a hard one, but a cushion one. And they politely, with a great hospitality, take you through all of the stuff that Sears catalogs offer, and even name brands. And they will, the best part is this. This is the gospel.
No,
right at the bottom.
Rent to own with no credit check, no deposit, no long-term obligation, no hassles.
I mean, is that unconditionally, isn't that grace? I mean, that is God's unconditional grace. Wipe away all your nasty bad sins before you didn't pay your bills. Forget it. We're not going to check with the credit company. And they don't, by the way. All they want from you is a little something. What do they want?
Your car, your house?
No. Poor people often do not have homes. They rent, and they don't have cars worth a darn.
Name, the
They want your name, and you have to have two things. You do have to have a place of residence and proof of a check. I don't care where the check comes from, public assistance, the army, working poor. They will drive out and bring it and set it up for you in the house. And now the first week goes by and you're enjoying your wonderful new idol. The second week goes by and you're enjoying your new idol. They didn't add the, now it's $36 we owe them. The third week goes, and now it's what? And now the fourth week comes. How much? Okay, and now your paycheck comes. Public assistance, $531 a month. I gotta pay my rent, phone bill, $65. Okay, we don't pay the phone bill this month. Let's pay the this thing for the first month. Second month comes around, now your phone bill is double. Well, let's not pay this month. Let's pay the phone bill. Now, what will this company do? They bring their friendly little truck with the guy with the wonderful little tie, and he will walk on your house and say, you didn't pay. When, what do? They repossess it. What happens to the money you put into it? It's gone. And for so what, we lost it. Okay. This is just another structure developed so that people can buy into the marketplace idols. And there's 1,000 of these specifically, Rent-A-Centers. Okay? The other thing that popped up, and they're all over Tacoma, I'm sure they're all over Seattle, is called check advance. You know, anyone have check advance in their communities? You'll see them. They'll catch on in other places. Instead of going to a bank, you're low income again, where would you go? You can't use it. And a bank, by the way, is a what? Is it a church or is it a, what is it? What do we do with banks? You avoid them. What are banks?
Money.
They're money. The places where we do the exchanges and all of that stuff. Why wouldn't many poor people go to a bank? They don't have enough money to deal with whatever the bank is. Now, to be serious, a bank is a strange institution. I used to think it was there. I actually believed for many years that banks were part of the public domain. I know you're laughing at me. It's all right. Why would I have that impression?
Because they give out money.
They give out money.
The name, First National Bank.
First National Bank.
People's
First
Bank.
Interstate.
Citizens.
People's Bank. Citizens Bank. Puget Sound National Bank. Sounds so right.
Great American.
Great American. Until, of course, they go out of business, and then you're in trouble. But it shows that they're a business. Okay, so when the check advance places come, all they're saying to you is, if you're poor, don't have to go to the bank. Bring your check to us. And if you have a check for $500, and they only charge 1.2%, or 1.5, let's make it easy. How much money is that to cash a check?
$7.50.
$7.50 to cash a check of $500. Now, is that bad business or good business for you? Would you go to a bank that charged you every time you wanted to cash that sizable check, $7.50? Yeah, I wouldn't go to that bank. I have band club. I have a set fee of $250 for no matter how many checks. I could write a million checks, and they're obligated. $7.50. Now, at the same place, they will offer that same person, now why don't you pay your bills? Now, if you don't have a checkbook, what do? Normally, they sell them here at the post office.
Money orders.
How much are money orders?
50.
That's a bargain. Where are you going to get a 50-cent money order today? Maybe at Holden.
No, you're over a dollar now.
Okay, 7-Elevens is the cheapest I found, was 75 cents. You go to most places, and they charge you anywhere from what, $1.25 to. Okay. All I'm saying is, add up three or four money orders. You add up your transaction for a low-income person for that month. They could be spending how much? You know, say you spend $10 out of your $500. What percent of your total income that month have you spent just to transact simple business? Okay. And it's legal and it's proper. It's American. It's entrepreneurial. As Christians, then we have to decide. Where does this all fit in? Okay. Enough of that. One of the interesting things, anyone know the story of Tantalus?
No.
The Greek myth? There's a god. And Tantalus wanted to impress the other gods. And so he took his child and cut him up and put him into stew. And he fed him to the gods. They cut up his children. The other gods were infuriated. And they condemned him to a sort of living hell. They put him in water up to his waist. And every time he got thirsty, he would try to get a drink and the water receded. They put branches and trees over his head with fruit. And every time he got hungry, the fruit would be just sitting there. And every time he reached for it, the fruit would recede. And that was his living hell, Tantalus, which we get the word tantalizing. And in a sense, that was a picture of the Greek gods of that looking for that. And of course, with Jesus and all, we have different images of what? What does our faith say? About that very thing. You won't be satisfied by it. It's insatiable. And so we are always, we can never be satisfied with those gods. And they tantalize us. Okay? And I would suggest that from the littlest thing to the most sophisticated, this is a full page ad in the New York Times. What's going on here?
Wear a Sierra cutlass.
Mm-hmm. And you see this? It's a man and a woman, red hot sail extended, wear a Sierra. Where is the car coming out of? Don't say it.
Vaginal thing or whatever we call it.
Yeah, whatever we call it. And obviously the man who is about ready to, woo, what is it, where is the car coming from? The phallic, old penis or phallic somewhere. Isn't it hard even to name it, and they've done it to us? Having sex with a car. I mean, essentially that's what it's saying. And this will be your fulfillment. And there's other more even classic ones than this. There was one on TV and they finally took it off. It was the Peugeot. Did you ever see this one? I love it. It was a French car. And it comes crashing through a window, a bedroom window, and lands on the bed.
Oh, yeah.
And it says, Peugeot does it best. Yeah, but see, isn't it interesting then, you talk to folks about their faith, you know, and how shy we are then, confronting the God of our age. And I would only suggest that the God that we're called to follow says, don't be afraid to name these things. But it crosses all boundaries, all issues. This one is an interesting one. Since it is multicultural, I'm kind of off track of this, but if you noticed here, it says, again, anybody read the title?
It's your good reading.
Puyallup grab onto their future.
Okay, they grab onto their future. Now, this is a double image here. It's real interesting, because the woman is grabbing onto a cross, and they were just awarded, every Puyallup Indian member was awarded $20,000 this year through a settlement with the federal government, state government, city governments, a couple of hundred million for investment purposes, and so forth. Okay, that's right here in the Northwest. The picture, though, is of this family. And let me read what they say of the family. This is what the family says. There will be marriages in the Joseph family because of the cash payments they are about to receive. There will be wedding rings, diamonds set in solid gold. The linoleum on the kitchen floor will be repaired. The house finally got its much-needed landscaping. They will take their first family vacation, traveling to the Southwest in two rented motorhomes. They will go shopping to real department stores. And we won't be looking for the blue light specials. What are the blue light specials? Thank you. Isn't it interesting? We know the symbols, don't we? And Debbie Joseph, with a laugh, it's a time of dreams at the Joseph Unadorned Home in Tacoma's East Side. That's where I work, and a lot of Indians live there. She says, I need to settle down, though, and that's what Vicky is helping me do. The settlement is helping me to get a new start in life because I want to marry Vicky very, very badly. but is also a time of prayer at the Joseph family. Maybe this is the line you're talking about. And she goes on, for the household, a deeply religious family. They are Shakers and sometimes use their living room for small sanctuary. They worry about tribal members less prudent than themselves. And I won't go into the rest of it. But the point is, the money is a good thing. It may give them a new start. And this family, at least, is tempering the gods. And who was at the door when the money... you should have been in Tacoma. The banks handed out these $20,000 in cash. Who was standing there, literally 100 yards away, waiting for those people to get their checks? Who would have been there selling?
Church.
I wish the church was there. God, Kelly. But maybe some of the church was. But who else?
The car dealers.
They were right there, ready with their bar, and they were negotiating with them before they even got the check. That's how insidious and how twisted it is. You just pray that her prayers and so forth were enough to put it into perspective. Okay. And here I was just out recently, and I love full-page ads. Somebody's got money to take these out. This is USA Today. This was last week. And this gets us maybe into healthy, wealthy, the wisdom of the church. Here's the church speaking now. Look at the picture, and then read it.
Will sex split the church?
Would you read some more?
Sex outside of the sacred marriage bond, abandonment of traditional family values, homosexuals in the pulpit, same-sex marriages. Call now, let America know where you stand.
Okay. And then on the bottom, I love this. It's a 1-900 number. Oh, when I saw that, I got rankled. Because what is 1-900? They only tell you that in the smallest print.
Pay
for it. It costs you 95 cents to give your opinion. And look how they couch. This is the church. And by the way, if you're Lutheran, you were spared. He says, here is what is happening. Some of the major Christian denominations, such as the Presbyterian Church USA, the Episcopal Church in America, and the United Methodist Church, are rethinking the rules of sexual conduct. It is as though they were voting on God's seventh commandment, which prohibits adultery. The Lutherans were spared. I was hoping we'd be in there so we have something more to talk about here. But the 100, 900, here's how it says, if you agree with him, simply call. But here's if you disagree with me and feel that proposed new rules on sexual conduct, including ordination of homosexuals, recognition of same-sex marriages are acceptable, call. Even there, he's trying to convince you. Okay. And this happens to be Presbyterian in Coral Gables. Now, my cynical side says, what else is he looking for?
Money.
And he will get it. Because the image is, look at the picture of the church. Little country church being devastated, split apart with the darkening clouds of gays and people in immoral, so forth and so on. Okay. Now, I don't know where your opinion is on it. I'm not getting into it. That's not for now. But the point is, this is the church saying this. Same article, same. This is a wonderful day in the motel. This guy has so much money, he gives you a 1-800 number. Because the Church of Scientology is outlasting a lot of them. Who is this? Some of you, it's Ron Hubbard. And look at the picture. What's that to let us know? He's got a connection. And I read the whole thing, which is terrible what I did. And basically says, all the talk we had about forgiveness at the Bible study today, he said, well, forgiveness is all right, but it's not really what makes it. And he just goes into a sort of a love ethic, which is whatever that means to people. But he's willing for, he can take a full page ad and be as bold as this and not be shy. And so maybe we should take out ads and put the green hymnal in there or something and say, you know, it won't work, will it? It won't work for us. Why not? Well, thankfully. But I assume these people do too. I'm not knocking the Presbyterians. They had to deal with something really, they didn't want to have to deal with it, right? That task force of Presbyterians that they picked out and they put together and said, we got to change the rules, the paradigms, if you will, Kelly. Life isn't like you're saying it is. In my community, when I was at PLU, I think I did 150 marriages in 5 years. I mean, I did weddings that I can't remember. If you were sitting here, I wouldn't know if I did your wedding. I did so many of them. And I went into South Shan, a low-income community. I had one wedding in the last 6 years. Isn't that strange? It'd be easy to judge them, wouldn't it? And the one wedding I did do, they decided to marry after they had their children, because it was more economical. And then it only lasted 6 months. She threw them out. Now, without getting into the social implications there, the reality is, it's not like we want it to be. So then how do we welcome people who don't fit these categories you and I have set is the norm for being healthy, wealthy, and wise? And that's a challenge for all of us, individually and certainly corporate as a church. And these are, I would only ask you to pay attention to some of those things. Is it time to end?
Yeah.
End with symbol. We live in an age of symbol, which is unfortunate, because it's the only thing we seem to have. We always recognize it. The Greek word for symbol is to throw a bunch of things together and come out with a sense of meaning. And I'll end with the car symbol. The Cadillac is an interesting symbol to me. I use this one, and then we'll probably get back to the bishop, but the Lincoln Town Car is a strange car. It's because in the TNT, the Common News Tribune, they had an article once from Japan, and they had this Lincoln Town Car picture. And the Japanese call it a gangster car. In Japan, that car is considered as a symbol of dirty money. Again, that was how they interpreted it. Well, it turns out Bill Reiki, president of PLU, has a town car. And so does Bishop Dave Wolf. I have nothing against that car, by the way, or Cadillacs, or even Porsches. But I said it was a bad symbol for our area. And why? Because who drives Lincoln's Cadillacs? I call them the three P's.
Pimps.
Oh, you already heard this. Pimps. Hopes. And presidents. That's a silly thing that a lot of people try in Cadillacs. But the point is, the image, the symbol, is that these people driving these things, now that's a symbol that either includes you or excludes you. That's all I want to bring out in this. If the symbol excludes you, we got some trouble. If the green hymnal is excluding people, maybe we better rethink that. It may be abusive in some situations. If the Cadillac or the car is what is finally excluding people, or it includes you, you feel included. We know, though, that from this image of a Cadillac or Lincoln or a Porsche, that who is driving? What do we assume about the driver?
Hired.
Possibly hired, which would mean what? You got a lot of money. But more importantly, what do you put in? What do you invest in that person? What are you saying about a pope, a president, or even a pimp?
Power.
The status, his power. Name them all.
Prestige.
Prestige. All those images of what we would say gives us what we draw to. And in the midst of that, our God calls us to the other reality. And I only suggest symbols, we're in an age of symbols, and bad or not. Everyone here knew the blue light special. We have a complete shared meaning and value system here. I heard in the last election, not only it was so derogatory, but it was said publicly on national TV, the Kmart voters. Who are Kmart voters?
Poor,
low income, or just people looking for a bargain. And he was categorizing a whole class of people in the Kmart voters. Because the symbol is so powerful. And I, you know, as I laugh about McDonald's, but I don't laugh about it because the symbol of the arches is imbued in us. And it would be also for the bomb. I think if I ask you for an image and you were to draw it, I'll bet everyone in this room could draw a picture of the bombing, an atomic bombing. It's there in our minds. And I would pray, though, in your mind, along with that, is the image of Jesus being transformed. And the words, maybe, of Hiroshima, Picadon, the bomb has exploded. On the other hand, but listen to my son, who I'm well pleased. And as you listen, then, to be able to distinguish between the two gods, if you will. There's a heck of a lot to talk. Seriously, it took a whole week to do this. I just wanted to do it because there was a hole in the program. I will end with a Huxley warning. Wonderful book, good for study groups. It's called Amusing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman, Public Discourse in the Age of Show Business. This is good stuff. He is good. He says, there are two ways by which the spirit of a culture may be shriveled. In the first, the Orwellian, culture becomes a prison. Okay, that's the Eastern Bloc countries, China, wherever there's oppression, he would say. The Huxleyan culture becomes a burlesque. And he goes on, what Huxley teaches is that the age of advanced technology, spiritual devastation is more likely to come from an enemy with a smiling face than from one whose countenance exudes suspicion and hate. In the Huxleyan prophecy, Big Brother does not watch us by his choice. We watch him by ours. There is no need for wardens or gates or ministries of truth. When a population becomes distracted by trivia, when cultural life is redefined as a perpetual round of entertainments, when serious public conversation becomes a form of baby talk, when, in short, a people become an audience and their public business, a vaudeville act, I may be guilty of that, then a nation finds itself at risk. Culture death is a clear possibility. And I would only suggest, Neil Postman also gets into the church and preachers that do that, that we in the church also are at risk of, not that God will go away, thankfully the promise of God is true, but that in fact the church is at risk also.